Now, on his first major overseas visit of his second presidency, Donald Trump is visiting Saudi Arabia, Qatar and the United Arab Emirates, three of the world's richest nations, for what he's calling an historic visit to the Middle East. There's no scheduled trip to Israel, leading to questions about where Israel now stands in Trump's priorities. His stated aim is to secure a $1 trillion investment in US companies, building on an initial $600 billion pledged by the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. But overshadowing his trip is not the weighty pressure of world affairs, rather his decision to accept the gift of a $400 million luxury plane from the Qatari royal family. Speaking to reporters at the White House yesterday, Mr. Trump said you'd have to be stupid to turn down a free plane.
I would never be one to turn down that kind of an offer. I mean, I could be a stupid person, say, no, we don't want a free, very expensive airplane. But it was, I thought it was a great gesture. And I think it was a gesture because of the fact that we have helped and continue to, we will continue to, all of those countries, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, and others, we keep them safe. If it wasn't for us, they probably wouldn't exist right now. And I think this was just a gesture of good faith.
Do you plan to use the plane after you leave office?
No, I don't. No, it would go directly to the library after I leave office. I wouldn't be using it.
Well, as you heard there, he is eager to accept the plane. He says it's going to his library after his presidency. Let's talk to Greg Karlstrom, their Middle East correspondent with The Economist. Greg, is the acceptance of this plane, and I want to talk to you about the trip to these Middle East countries, but is it another example, and perhaps showing us where he's going this week, another example of a president who mixes the politics with the business, the global with the personal?
It is, and it's not the only example of that that we will see this week, I suspect. Trump, since he took office, has been expanding his family's business dealings with Gulf countries. They've signed various contracts to build or to license Trump Towers in Saudi Arabia, in the UAE, other countries in the region. His sons are getting very involved with various cryptocurrency firms that do business in the UAE. We've seen a lot of mixing of family business and state business already, and accepting this plane, I think, would just be the latest example of it.
And what are the priorities for these Arab states during this visit? What do they want from Donald Trump and the United States? Is it, as he said, to keep them safe?
That is part of it. I think one issue for them will be economic. They want some clarity around what is happening with tariffs and consequently what's happening for the global economy. These are all countries that rely on oil and gas exports, and for them, the oil price is uncomfortably low right now. So they want to know where Trump is going. They're also keen. They're going to offer Trump investments in America, but they want inward investments into their own countries as well, particularly the Saudis, who have embarked on this very expensive plan to overhaul their economy. They want to make themselves look more attractive to American investors. So there's the economic part of it. And then there's the geopolitical side, where they are going to push Trump for a ceasefire in Gaza to put pressure on the Israelis to end the war. They are going to push him to conclude a nuclear deal with Iran. They want to see America reach that agreement because they think the alternative is a war in the region. So broadly, they're going to be pushing him to try and de-escalate various fronts in the Middle East so that they can focus on business and on economic transformation.
And do you think that the release of hostage Eden Alexander without, it appears, the involvement of Israel, is that a sign that the US and Donald Trump is moving closer to that Arab view of where they want to see events in Israel and Gaza?
That is certainly the hope here in the region. And I think if you put it in the context of what's been happening over the past month, we saw in April Trump announcing talks with the Iranians. He seemed to take Israel unaware with that announcement, sitting next to Benjamin Netanyahu in the Oval Office. Then last week, Trump announcing unexpectedly that he was halting American airstrikes on the Houthis in Yemen. Again, the Israelis were surprised by that. The Houthis have continued firing ballistic missiles at Israel, but Trump has backed America out of that campaign. So it does look as if Trump is breaking with the Israeli government on a number of issues in the region. He wants quick wins. You know, he wants to be able to say, we did what we wanted to do in Yemen. We mission accomplished there. We're making deals with the Saudis. And he views the Israelis as a hindrance to that right now. The Israeli government is not giving him quick wins on Gaza or elsewhere.
Now, he's going to Qatar. Qatar, of course, has been a key mediator in a number of conflicts, and notably the war in Gaza, acting as a mediator with Hamas as well. He'll be there. Will he be there while some talking is going on? Netanyahu is sending a delegation again to Qatar for talks. Will he be there at that time? Might he get involved?
I think whether he'll be there at that time depends on how these talks go, whether there seems to be any room for agreement or whether Israel and Hamas remain sort of locked in the same positions that they've been locked in for the past year. I'm not sure Trump himself would get personally involved. These are lower level talks between representatives of the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence service, and Hamas. And I think that might be too low of a level for the president to get involved. But Steve Witkoff, his Middle East envoy, is expected to be there and is expected to take part in these negotiations.
Is there any sign so far that Donald Trump, during his time here, might, as he said himself, swing by Turkey for any Ukraine-Russian talks?
Anything is possible with Donald Trump. And he did mention that unexpectedly in the middle of a press conference about prescription drug prices yesterday. There had been some talk before his visit to Saudi Arabia about whether Vladimir Putin might come here for a visit. The Saudis, of course, have tried to mediate in the past between Russia and Ukraine. And there seemed to be some interest in organizing a Trump-Putin meeting in Riyadh. That is not happening, but it does sound as if there's a chance that Trump will fly over to Istanbul, if only for the photo op of convening Putin and Zelensky. I'm not sure he's going to make much progress towards a ceasefire in that meeting. But again, if you're looking for quick wins that you can try to sell to supporters back home, a photo op with these two warring leaders might be all Trump wants.
Greg Carlstrom, Middle East correspondent with The Economist. Thank you very much for your time this morning. 14 minutes to 8.